Hello, and welcome to The Campaigns, the actual play podcast from the RPG Academy. I am Michael, and this is Dead Center, episode number 5, Also a Dragon. Dead Center is our newest Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition campaign podcast. It is being written and DM'd by the Caleb G, and it stars myself, Matthew, Paul, and Scott. In our last episode, we tracked some tracks to a cave where we believe that a number of our villagers have been taken to. We were confronted briefly by a dragon, which promptly flew away. Coward. And inside the cavern, we had some adventures and fought some foes. But now we've made it to our greatest challenge yet. And here is Dead Center, episode number 5, Also a Dragon.
The four survivors are still screaming in terror. Two of them are clasping onto each other, shaking, and tears are streaming down their face.
Ah, but my friends, we're here to save you. We're rescuing you. There's no need to fear now. Your heroes have come.
But yeah, we're still looking for those villagers, if you could, you know, so.
One of the survivors sobs and wipes away the tears from her face. Thank you, but my husband went into the next room to look for help, and he hasn't come back. I'm so worried. And she's pointing at another door, another cave opening ahead of you. Also to your right, there is a second opening as well.
I think we follow the way she's pointing. That seems very sensible.
I turn to the villagers and say, "Can you all make it out?"
I don't know. We were bound and chained and tied with ropes on the way down. Some of those horrible creatures pulled us apart from the group and shoved us down here. They were making horrible, horrible noises. It sounded like laughter. They took us in here. I don't know what they were going to do with us.
They were going to eat you.
Not helping.
Well, they left to that other room, and then I heard some horrible noises. I don't know what happened. And then we were alone, and my husband left to try to find help through that door over there, and he hasn't come back. I don't know what's going on.
Well, we don't either.
Are there any, weapons or things, weapon-ish around that we can give to these people and tell them which way to go and get out of this cave?
There's certainly some rocks on the ground.
Oh,
I'm going to hand one of them a javelin.
Okay. There we go.
Okay.
I'm going to let that go.
And one of my hand axes.
I'm going to give that a questioning glance.
And then as I hand it to him, I'm going to look him deep in the eye. I'm going to swipe some of the spider guts off of my face and twirl the end of my mustache with it. I'm going to say, "Remember, you've only got 3 choices in life. Give in, give up, or give it all you've got." And then I turn and walk away.
Well, you know what, Mundus? That was just so inspirational to these poor survivors. They stand up, they grab your weapons, and they take your instructions on how to get out of the cave, and they do so.
Excellent.
You are now faced with the way you came back, the way the one survivor said that her husband went and did not return, and the way she said that the monsters exited and made odd, horrible noises.
Right, before the villagers actually leave, I will tell them,
remember, the ones on the ground are mites, the ones on the top are tights, and the ones with faces are monsters.
They look at you very puzzled.
Good luck, my people. And I turn Bra around to face the way the husband went.
Okay.
Let's go find the missing husband. I think that's we're going to kill things no matter what, but I feel like rescuing people is probably one of my primary concerns, at least.
Mm-hmm. As he says, yeah, we're going to kill each our own monsters, not each other's monsters. And I'm just muttering to myself, like, mind my own business and get meddle in other people's affairs.
The bro's like, you know how some people have, like, a 5 that if you have a chance to have sex with those 5 people, it's okay. well, killing monsters and spiders is kind of like on my list. Like, nothing else matters. Spiders fucking die all the time. They're on my five.
I don't think that you're compatible with a spider's genitalia. Now it kind of makes me concerned for that turtle we saw you with last time.
Francis!
Forgot about Francis.
We broke up. I'm going back.
No, my friend. No, Francis is safe. We built him a little home. Remember, in our subtle base / apartment, we gave him twigs and sticks to replicate the environment he's used to. We poked holes in his cage because he's damn sure used to air.
Are you sure we put holes in the terrarium?
I look thoughtful for a second, and then remember my training. I'm absolutely sure. 110%, there's no chance we did not put holes in that terrarium. Now, forward we go to rescue this husband.
Mundus has a really red, embarrassed look on his face, like, oh, crap.
That's the thing where it's like there's like a Family Guy quick cut over to you, like getting ready to put the holes in it, and then you get distracted by something, and so you just leave it.
Okay.
Into the cave.
Poor Francis.
Follow me.
For Francis.
All right, so who's going first?
Bra will go in front.
Mundus will try to get in front of him, but if he doesn't, he'll go second.
I'll take up the rear.
Of course you will.
There's no it in that, buddy. Don't laugh.
Poor Breathwall.
All righty. The two of you that are shouldering back and forth to try to go first...
It's like Mo and Larry
trying to fit through the.
Do we fit through the door as we try and go?
No, you do that thing where both your shoulders hit and jam, and you're just kind of glaring at each other. I'll go first. And then there's a pop, and you both fall through the door at the same time. As you fall to the ground, give me a perception check.
19.
8.
Well, obviously Mundus won.
I can see more than he can.
Mundus, you see two things as you enter the room. This is a kind of a circular room. It's overgrown with vines. There's kind of a humidity in the room and a dampness. The first thing that draws your eye is a very large mound in the middle of the room. It appears to be made of vines and leaves, but it's pulsing and moving very sickeningly, almost as if it is alive. And also, out of the corner of your eye, you see what you think is a box or a chest in the back room, in the back of this room you are in. Bra, even though you have fallen to the ground and Mundus is on top of you, you notice, in this mound in the middle of the room, you can see a hand extended from these vines, and it's twitching very slowly.
Mundus is gonna jump up and head towards the hand. If he steps on Bra in the process, so well.
I will try to reach out and like grab his ankle and trip him.
You guys are so eager to be the first one to die. We can take turns. You're both gonna die soon enough.
We've got conflicting dogma to go after. You know?
I love that Scott and I are mom and dad.
We only need one straight man. If you're going to be straight man, then I can start being crazy dwarf guy.
Just start being your goblin, no boxed again.
That was fun.
Okay, so Mundus jumps up and runs towards the mound of vines and leafy plant matter. As you get there, you can see that the arm the hand is attached to is actually being drawn deeper inside the mound. And the tendrils and vines are waving about, and as you get closer, they actually snap up towards you very threateningly.
I believe if it's threatening me, I feel threatened. Self-defense. Roll to hit.
Go for it.
That's a lucky 17 to hit.
Yep.
All right, that's a lucky 9 points of damage and push that mound 10 feet further away from murdering me.
Well, actually, the mound itself is really big, and when your Eldritch Blast slams into it, instead of the whole thing lurching backwards, just the top half of it kind of rips off and flails away. And you guys can clearly see that there is a person inside of this mound. And he appears to be unconscious.
My God, it's some sort of robot. Kill the driver.
It's a.
But now that combat, now that you have struck this thing, the vines very quickly snap out and lash towards you, and we are going to have initiative.
All right. I know what to do now.
Mundus gets 6.
I get a 13.
Earthwall gets 4.
Bra gets a 5.
Quest is going first.
All right. Hang on, my friend! As I brandish my shield and my warhammer, and I'm going to go as close to the creature slash mound that I can and try to bust a hole in it to get this guy out or something along those lines. Whoa! 19 plus 6 is a 25.
Absolutely.
Yes. 10 damage. Boom!
All right, so your hammer collides with the side of this thing. You feel the impact, and as you pull the hammer back, some of the smaller vines actually, like, latch onto the head of your hammer, but you snap it back away from it. They don't pull it out of your hands. But you feel that you didn't do a ton of damage to it. Maybe not as much as you should have. And it will be Mundus' turn.
I'm going to drop my shield. I'm going to hit the button on my axe, extending it into a great axe. And I'm going to hit it with a 9.
Not quite.
As he misses it, I want to look at him and say, "Brother, are we allowed to attack this one together?"
I'm going to just kind of nod like, "Yeah, sure."
You still have inspiration, man. You can...
Is that how
you can
it works?
Shoot for
that,
a reroll.
Does inspiration work like Benny's? Okay. Is that what I'm led to believe?
Not exactly, but I'm giving you guys just points of inspiration at a time, so I want you to do cool things.
Okay, that was a that's a 21.
Hey, there you go. You actually connected with it. Roll that damage.
10 damage, slashing.
Awesome. So you actually rip a chunk clean off of this thing. You shear through the vines. They land on the kind of marshy, soft ground and flop about and shrivel up. You can actually see a little bit more of the villager that is inside this mound. He is clearly unconscious. He does not appear to be damaged yet.
Yeah, just to be sure, I see the villager inside the mound still, not part of the villager over there.
Correct.
Nice.
And it is Bra's turn.
All right, so did I notice that the villager seems to be unharmed, just unconscious?
Yeah, you can clearly see him at this point. The chunk that Mundus took off of it makes him pretty visible.
Okay, so what I want to do then is I will run up, and I'm going to position myself on, so I'm standing like over top of the villager, and then I will swing my trident around and try to hit, and then if I hit, I'm going to use Thunderous Smite.
Okay.
So it doesn't actually work that way. So I guess as a bonus action, I'm casting Thunderous Smite, and then I'm going to try to hit. That would be a 20 total on the die.
Yes.
All right. So I'm going to do an extra 2d6 points of thunder damage. Additionally, the target must succeed on a strength saving throw or be pushed 10 feet back. And that is a total of 9, 10, 11, 12 points of damage.
And you said this was thunder damage?
Yes.
Wonderful. And we make I had to make a strength saving check of against what?
12.
Okay, so you connect with your trident, and holy energy erupts thunderously, and you hear the noise echoing around the cave, deafening you for a quick moment. Unfortunately, the mound is too large to shift backwards. It rocks, but it stays in place. It
wiggles like jello.
It is the mound's turn. It will lash out at Mundus and Bra, as they are the closest targets. Two tentacles each shoot forward. Does a 15 hit either of you?
No.
No.
Yes, it will, because I'm not using my shield currently.
So it'll hit Mundus?
Yes.
You will take 13 damage.
Whoa.
And it is Quest's turn.
I will go to grab out the unconscious man if I can.
Okay. Go ahead and make a strength check.
20. Not a crit. I
Wonderful. Okay,
just making sure.
Yeah, you can you run up, you can grab the man's hands, and you with a feat of strength you can pull him out of this mound. You're now holding him basically kind of in your arms. Go ahead and take inspiration for that.
Excellent. And can I also retreat a bit from the creature?
Yes, absolutely. With the weight of the man you have saved. And the fact that you're kind of dodging some of the vines, you only get about 10, 15 feet away, but you're definitely out of harm's way for now. Mundus.
Mundus has his axe ready and will hit whatever he needs to hit.
Big living mound of vines and grass in front of you. Swing away.
Oh, not for long. 22 versus AC.
Got it.
15 slashing damage.
A powerful hit. Brah.
Is there any way to tell if these attacks are actually hurting the mound? Like, are we making progress?
Oh, yeah. You are definitely connecting and damaging this thing. The mound has shriveled away and shrunken. Parts of it are kind of flopping off and shriveling up on the ground. They're kind of singed and burning away as they separate from the main mound.
I guess I will attack again then. And I will miss terribly, so I will use one of my inspirations. That will be a 16 versus armor class.
A hit.
All right, and so I will use one of my channel divinities to smack him with a divine smite.
Okay.
Bahamut, banish this vile beast! 3 16 points of damage.
All righty. Your trident glows and erupts with light in the darkness of the cave. You sink it into the heart of this mound, and you can feel it wither and shake and shriek away from the holy power. You know you have struck a powerful blow. It is not dead, but it is well on its way. Breathwall, your turn.
I will dodge to the side behind one of the many stone outcroppings for some good cover and continue to assault it with my eldritch blasts of the inherent magical energies of Almighty Terra. I got above 20 to hit. I bet that does.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's 9 points of magical damage.
Wonderful. You connect with that magical energy. You blast off another chunk of these living vines. They flop to the ground as they are separated from the host core. They shrivel up. With that kind of nasty, rotting stench of old leaves and shrubbery. The mound will, the mound will still lash out with tentacles, but it feels so much, it feels very half-hearted at this point. One of the tentacles swipes at Quest with a 15.
No.
The other one swipes at Bra with a 16.
That will miss.
All right. Quest.
I mean, I don't think there's anything I can really do with this guy right now that this thing is still alive, so I'm going to put him on the ground. If he's not already on the ground, and then I'm going to rejoin the fray.
Okay.
I mean, he's still breathing, right? He doesn't seem like it was labored or anything.
Correct. Yeah, okay. You can check. You can see by looking at him, he was certainly damaged and beat up, but he's not bleeding out. He's not in immediate threat of
then,
death.
Yeah, I'm gonna pull out my hammer again and then join back with the other gents.
Okay.
Oh, nice. This is a 24.
Yes.
That is a 7 damage.
Yep, you connect with a great blow, smacking into the side of the thing. It doesn't quite dent, because it's living matter,
yeah.
But you certainly feel the impact of your blow, and you know it did too.
Oh.
Mundus.
Yes. One more axe. I'm going to axe him a question. 13 versus AC.
No, unfortunately you miss.
Alas.
So, kind of starting to regret using all my fire breath earlier on the spiders, because I think that'd be really handy right about now. But I kind of did. So
I'm actually going to, like, leap and try to come down with my trident, like, just in the middle of the thing. Like, I'm going to get down there to the heart of the matter. I'm going to use
so many puns.
Another inspiration. And unless I can do it again, I think I'm still going to miss. 13 versus armor class.
13 is a miss, unfortunately.
But hey, at least I'm right there now.
For the heart of the matter, I'll give you one of my points of inspiration to take that on the third time.
I'm going to veto that because of that horrible pun.
What?
But it is your turn, Breathwall, so maybe you can do something about this thing.
I was going to say, if I was involved in this silly competition between our two paladins, I would have been like, oh, you want fire? And then I would have... lit it up with my fire spell, but
I'm a full paladin. He's only a 3/4 paladin.
2/3.
3/4 right now.
I'm gonna keep riding my one trick pony. and that natural one, I'm gonna go ahead and use inspiration on that. Ah, much better. Does 18 hit?
Yes it does.
Hooray, that's 13 points of force damage from Almighty Terra.
Alright, you collide with it again. This thing, every time you've hit it, it's gotten progressively smaller and smaller. Your force smacks into it. You think for a second the thing is going to disintegrate, but there is still a chunk of it left alive, quivering in the middle of the room. There are tentacles still swirling about, and they swipe pitifully at the three massive figures surrounding it, but they do not connect with any of you. Quest, it is your turn to put this thing out of its misery.
I hope so. Same thing, once again. Warhammer, with feeling. Does a 14 hit?
Nope.
Fuck me.
Alright, Mundus, give it a go.
Oh, this is how it's done, fella.
I hope you miss.
I rolled a 1. I did.
Well deserved, sir.
All right, Bra, give it a go.
I want to take a moment and laugh at Mundus. And then in my head, I'm going to say, this is how it's done. But then I'm not going to say it out loud, just in case. I'm going to hedge my bet. 16 versus armor class.
Yes.
7 points of damage. So then I'm going to stab it and go, that's how you do it? I'm going to raise my... because I'm not sure if I did it yet or not.
All right. You jab your trident into this thing. It withers away and stops moving. And very strangely, seemingly from a room or two away, you hear a shriek and a thud. And you have finished the battle.
I'm going to... release my water onto the plant.
From your cloaca?
I want to know what that shriek and thud was.
It gets everywhere.
Yeah.
Can you even aim that thing? It's just a vent.
It like a tiger.
while other people are breaking water and attending to the poor unconscious hostage, I'm going to go ahead and try my best at rolling stealth and sneaking ahead to try and get a glimpse of what's in the next chamber that screamed and made a thud.
Yeah, I would like to attend to the unconscious gentleman, see if I can rouse him.
And does Mundus remember what he saw behind the thing a moment ago?
There was a chest.
Yeah, there was a chest in here.
Yeah, there was.
But since Mundus isn't worried about earthly treasures such as that, he's going to take a look at the guy and make sure, see if he needs any healing or if he'll pull through by himself.
You guys can both take a look at the fella. He is unconscious. He is bruised. There's some, you already see some purple and yellow welling up, along his arms and wrists where he was tied with rope. And there's a couple bruises around his chest and ribs. You're sure he's going to be okay. He might have a broken rib or two. He might have some trouble breathing, but he'll survive.
He's fine. Mundus is going to slap himself a couple of times to get the blood flowing because I'm at 17 HP and use my lay on hands to heal myself. And then I'm going to follow my dwarf buddy.
Can I try to get him conscious with some sort of check?
Sure. Do you have heal or anything?
No, I do not. I have survival.
I think medicine is what it is in 5th edition. Do you have that?
No, I don't.
All right. You can just make a wisdom check.
Woo! Yes! Straight up D20 roll. Here we go, people. Yeah, I look at him and I say, "You are a bruised man." And then I turn around and say, "All right, dwarf, let's go."
That's exactly what you do. Scott, what were you doing with Breathwall?
I was going to sneak ahead, very sneakily, and try and sneak a look at whatever made that horrible ooch and fall and crash sound.
Okay, give me a stealth check.
All right. Can I ask my raven to aid another on my stealth check, thereby giving me advantage on it?
You ask the raven that, and he says no.
He says nevermore.
Nevermore.
Intelligent, magical companion being a dick. All right. Fine. Let's see how bad I roll. Oh! 19 on the die! That's 23.
Okay, so yeah, you actually slip away from the group while they are inspecting the unconscious man.
Yeah, but your raven actually squawks out, "Hey, you did a good job!" You're
He's
really
the sneakiest
quiet.
Dwarf you ever did see.
Chatty ass raven.
It's one of those albino ravens, isn't it?
Rave binos. Yeah. Nobody likes them.
I do. I think they're cool.
Okay, so Mundus slips away from the group. The three of you do not notice this. You go back into the room where the charred remains of the spiders are, and you realize that the noise you heard came from the other passageway, the one off to originally your right, now your left. You can slip into that room, and you see another room, kind of marshy, along the rocks and cave walls, covered in leaves and vines. And you see four vaguely humanoid shapes that appear to have been made out of sticks and twigs and vines, but they are not moving anymore. You also see two bodies of small lizard-like creatures.
Well, geez, I don't see anything in here that is about to kill me then. I just see a lot of things that are lying around dead and disappointing.
Do the bodies look like dragons?
You're not in there, buddy.
Oh, this is just him? Damn.
I snuck away.
They look any draconic at all? Do they look more like a dragonborn than, say, a lizard folk or maybe koboldish in some manner?
Yeah, there's definitely a possibility.
I'm going to pick one up by the leg and kind of shake it a little bit and get a better look at it.
Yes, this very much looks like a kobold.
Filthy kobolds. Does it have anything on it?
No, it does not.
I'm going to throw it down.
Breathwall, you hear a little voice in the back of your head, and you're pretty sure that there were more dead bodies in that large room you were in, and they probably were carrying something.
Carrying something that's now no longer here?
Like the spider corpses?
No. In the room where the big mound of leaves were, where you rescued the guy, you definitely remember seeing some dead humanoid bodies in the back of that room, carrying a chest.
Well, right. I mean, my friends are still back there inspecting the chest and looting it for all of its goods, right? I assume.
If no one else is, Bra will check out the chest. I am in search for a third legendary artifact.
Oh, hey.
Could be in there.
Bra, you pop open this chest. The wood is rotting away. The lock easily breaks off. You see some bits and pieces of scrolls and mundane items that have crumbled away from rot and neglect. But at the bottom of the chest, there are 8 glass vials that you clearly recognize as a healing potion.
Wow.
All right. Well, it's not the third artifact I'm looking for, so I'll shut the chest and walk away.
Jackass. Nice.
That's fair. That's role playing.
I'm going to say, did I see what was in the chest, or did I not get there in time? Because this is going to decide what happens right now.
You can look. It's not like he destroyed it.
Yeah, I'm not, like, burning them.
Yeah, you just saw him open the chest, go, huh.
Okay, then I'm gonna quizzically look at him, pop open the chest, take the potions, pocket them, and then close the chest again and shake my head and follow him.
Alrighty, so the party rejoins, and what do you guys want to do?
While they're walking in, I'm going to look over at Brithwall and say, yeah, the only chest I care about is right here, and I make my pecs dance.
Wonderful.
All right, so I believe we take door number 2.
Sure. So you can trot back out of the area you have been in. You head.
What happened to the unconscious guy? Is he still just laying there?
Yeah. You didn't spare any healing for him. I couldn't fix him. And I think all Bra had was words of wisdom for him, so
nobody else bothered.
Well, I'm going to go pick him. I'm going to go back and pick him up and just kind of fling him over my shoulder and carry him along.
Okay. You guys get back into the original room you were in, where there were the four tunnels.
I'm really, like, hesitant to go in there. I'm looking around a lot.
The four original survivors are just exiting. They are just about to head back up that main tunnel you came down. And one of them, the woman that you handed the axe to, sees you coming out and exclaims in joy that you have saved her husband. Oh, thank you. That's my husband. Thank you so much. And she rushes over and takes him from you.
I'm just going to grab him by the scruff of the neck and just kind of hand him to her.
And she falls on the ground under the weight of her unconscious husband.
I didn't drop him. I'm just holding him out so, you know, they can do a
fireman's carry. She and someone else can grab him up.
Yeah. I don't just throw him at her like a goblin.
I'm sorry. That's just what I expected you were going to do.
No.
We're still looking for the villagers. They didn't come this way, did they?
Yeah, if you see any lost villagers, let them know we're looking for them.
The four conscious survivors just look at you, shake their heads, take the unconscious fifth, and leave.
And then as the lady walks off, like, hey, and I want that axe back when you're done with it.
She ignores you. Okay. So you now have three remaining tunnels to go through.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but there was a second one that was exciting for some reason, right? It seemed like this one was the one that we heard cries of help from, and the other one was the one that had a lot of tracks leading to it.
That is correct.
I think we take the interesting one.
The one we heard the cries for help on was the one with the dead kobolds in it, right?
That was the one we just came from.
Yes, that was the one you just came from.
Okay.
So we want to go down basically door number 4, the one to the right that was larger and had more footprints going through it.
Let's do it.
Yes.
At last.
Cool. So you guys head down that tunnel. This one's pretty short. It swings around to the left after a bit. Go ahead and give me all perception checks.
Oh, my best roll.
18 for Mundus.
That is a big 8.
10.
15.
Cool. As you guys turn the corner, you all very clearly see a huge, 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 huge open cave in front of you. The walls are covered with more crude drawings of pictures of the dragon. Bra, you can actually read more writing talking about worshiping the dragon and sacrificing to it.
Never mind.
In the middle of the room, opening up in front of you, you see a very large group of small lizards. They are all crouching and bowing on the ground. A few towards the front of the room definitely seem bigger and a little bit more dangerous than the others. In the middle of this group, there is a very large cage, big enough to hold about 10 people, And in there are, in fact, 10 people in this cage. And they are, again, screaming in fear because flying away up into the top of the cave is the red dragon that you saw a few moments ago.
Steve!
No, not Steve. This isn't. Oh. Steve is the other dragon.
Oh, right.
And holding in his claws, the dragon is clutching another one of these large cages, holding another 10 villagers. The dragon flies up to a high ledge, probably 50 feet off the ground. You see him land on the ledge, toss the cage away from you out of sight, and he stomps after it. The lizard creatures in the cave have not seen you.
I whisper very so slightly to my companions, how are we going to get that that second cage back from that dragon? I don't think we can take that dragon.
Maybe you can't.
I listen for a moment. Does it seem like the dragon's coming back to get the second cage, or is it going to be a while? What's the vibe here?
You do not see the dragon returning immediately. The lizard creatures are still bowing and scraping on the ground, and you hear them making noises that after a couple minutes you're pretty logically sure are prayer.
How many of them are there?
A lot. You're thinking maybe 20 or 30.
Who wasted his breath weapon earlier today?
Bra is going to step forward and go, hey, we're looking for some villagers. Have you seen them?
The kobolds immediately turn and see you and charge.
They're really excited. They must have some information for us.
I'm getting new friends.
That's it. Me too. Can I come with you?
Yes. We'll leave together.
Well, you know what? Why don't you roll initiative, and we'll see if you can leave to find some new friends.
Jesus Christ.
Michael, go ahead and take inspiration, because...
I'm going to need it. I just rolled a 1 on my initiative.
I rolled a 2.
I'm a 17.
19 total.
You just had a 1?
I have a 1. I have no modifier, so I have a 1.
Oh, no, I had a 2. I'm sorry, because I don't have a modifier. Never mind.
You have a 2, Mundus. Okay. Mundus has a 2.
Still better than Braz.
Twice as good, actually. I'm mesmerized by your dancing pecs.
Okay, well, towards the back of this crowd, you actually see the group of larger, slightly larger, more intimidating-looking kobolds, which is, of course, a bit of an oxymoron because they're kobolds and they're not really that intimidating. They actually rise up above the group of kobolds, and you can see that they are winged kobolds, and they're flapping up in the air, and they are giving commands to the mass of kobolds, surging them forward towards you. And it will be Bruthwall's turn.
You know, once a good strategy, always a good strategy. I'm going to go find a suitable place to duck behind for some cover, hopefully behind a big chunk of stone, because wooden cover's no good for me. And then roll to hit with my wonderful, always good attack. And I get above 20. I assume that's enough to hit one of the flying kobolds?
One of the flying kobolds? Absolutely.
Good. That's 9 points of damage and 10 feet of further away from me. Not that it matters, because they probably fly pretty quick.
Okay, so you clip one of the flying kobolds. You smash him backwards. He actually hits the wall and drops to the ground dead.
Man, I'm on fire today! Just like Almighty Terra.
Quest, it is your turn.
Excellent. Brandishing my javelin in one hand and my shield in the other, I'm also going to attempt to pick off one of the leadery flyy ones.
Go for it.
Heave my javelin in one of their general directions. That is a 13?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Whew. Yes! 9 damage.
All right. Just like Bruthwall, your ranged attack slams into this winged beast, and you pin it back to the rock wall. It twitches momentarily and dies. Unfortunately, it is now the turn of the giant throng of kobolds rushing towards you. Luckily, Not many of them will get through because you're in a bit of a choke point, but there will be an attack against the three of you that are not hiding behind rocks.
Ready for hiding.
Let's see. Does a 20 hit you guys?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. You each take 4 points of damage.
Ah.
And it is Mundus's turn.
Since these are little tiny insignificant kobolds, could I potentially take out more than one of them if I were to make a big swipe with my axe?
Oh, absolutely you could.
I'm just gonna get this big gleeful look on my face and just start laughing. And, 24 versus AC.
Oh my goodness. Sure. Why don't you give me a damage roll?
Okay, could I throw in an intimidation there as a bonus action?
Oh, hell yeah, you can.
All right, I'm going to kill him and then use however many I kill to intimidate him.
Okay.
Got a 5 slashing damage. So maybe not as many as I thought.
Okay. Well, you connect with 5 of them and 5 of them die.
Okay, and then I'm going to do my intimidation.
Okay.
Oh man. That's going to be a 10 intimidation.
Okay, well, with killing 5 kobolds in one swipe, the throng of kobolds around you pulls back, especially with seeing 2 of their leaders dead in seconds.
I hear kobold tastes like chicken.
You don't understand their chittering and their strange draconic tongue, but you're pretty sure they're very, very frightened of you.
Nice.
And it is Bra's turn.
We're just looking for the villagers. Do you know where they're at? Why won't they answer me?
I answer him.
They don't understand common.
I speak Draconic.
Okay, so you say that in Draconic?
Yeah.
One of them stands up and points at the big cage in the middle of the room.
All right, I will start walking that way.
Are you seriously just walking through the middle of the
opportunity attacks?
So I guess technically I'll take the dodge action as I flip my way through
the room.
You
mean the withdraw action or whatever?
So everybody will have to take disadvantage to hit me?
Do you mean the withdraw action so that they can't attack you?
Well, no, because the dodge action, every attack until the end of my next turn gets disadvantage against me as long as I can see them.
Right, and the withdraw action, if you take it, they just can't opportunity attack you as you wade through. Right.
Correct.
All right, then I'll do both of those if I can. I don't know how
it's going to withdraw forward.
That's right.
Yes. I will allow you to withdraw forward, capitalizing on the wonderful intimidate check that Mundus just made. So you can stride through the crowd and walk towards the cage in the middle of the room.
Everybody move!
Exactly. And we will go back to Bruthwall's turn.
All right, well, this seems to have worked out. I don't see what could possibly go wrong. Hooray! I'm gonna move around the group. I am not nearly optimistic enough to move through it, so I'll start skirting it, and I assume I won't get very far at 25 feet. And then my action, already in action to attack the first one that breaks the sudden truce that broke out and starts attacking us.
Sure, absolutely, that's fine.
Terror-based truce.
Yeah, that's right.
And it is Quest's turn.
Are there any more leaders?
Yes, there are still 2 of them at the back of the crowd.
Okay, I would like to take my third javelin and heave it at that one flitting around.
Gotcha.
Or one of the ones flitting around, excuse me. That is a 20.
Yep.
I would also hopefully like to kill this one, so let's see what this comes up. Not so much. 4?
4. Ugh. Well, you definitely clip one of its wings, and it falls to the ground.
Okay. Now I would like to use a free action to use Thaumaturgy.
Okay.
To create a booming voice, and in Infernal, I would like to say something along the lines of, "Leave this place now!"
You know, why don't you give me an intimidate check?
Oh, I have that as well. Just to let you know, I want to make it coming from where the dragon is, if that's how this works. If not, then it can come out of my mouth. I don't care. 24 crit.
Oh, snap.
Bra will also leave.
All right. Well, you actually very successfully scare the piss out of these kobolds.
Oh, come on my boots, dude.
Out of their cloacas.
out of their vents.
And
their evil taints.
The group that is around you just scatters. Four or five of them start to run away up the cave tunnel that you just came down, which is, of course, towards the cave tunnel that the villagers are exiting right now. And the rest of them scatter across the room. There are none around you anymore.
What about the one that got his got hit by the javelin through his wing? Is he, like, pinned to the wall or anything?
He's on the ground. He's not pinned to the ground, though, but he definitely cannot fly anymore.
Mm. Okay.
And it is Mundus's turn.
I'm going to run over and grab that guy. I'm going to pick him up and shove him in Bra's face and say, won't you ask him what the heck's going on?
Okay, you can do that.
I'm going to just be palming his head like a basketball and just hold him up there.
Okay, that absolutely happens, no problem. And it is Bra's turn.
All right, so how close am I to the cage with the villagers?
Oh, you're within a couple paces.
Okay, so before I respond to Mundus, I'm going to go to the cage and I'll talk to the people inside. I'll be like, hey, we're looking for some missing villagers. Have you seen them?
You mean us? Yeah, yeah, we're here. Thank you for saving us.
Yay. How is this cage locked?
Very poorly.
All right, I will try to, like, wrench the lock off or pick it or break it, whatever makes the most sense for me to do.
Go ahead and make a strength check, because I think you would just try to break it.
Okay.
He tries to use his trident as a lockpick.
What did you get?
A 2. Plus 3. 5.
Okay, well, luckily for you, this
Sorry,
cage...
Sorry, looks like you're fucked, and I'm walking away.
No, it's okay, because the cage was pretty much just wooden and held together with some sticks, and you just break through them.
It was made out of recycled pallets.
Now, I grab the lock, and I shake it really, really hard, and the entire rest of the cage just falls apart around them, and I'm still holding the lock in my hand.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay. All right, then I'll turn around and notice the winged kobold in my face. But, hey, yeah, we already found the villagers. Thank you.
Are you going to ask him anything about what's going on, like Mundus said, or...?
Sure. Like, oh, what else is going on here? Oh.
This kobold is terrified, so he will screech out in Draconic.
Stop being scared!
He pisses all over Mundus.
Mundus doesn't care.
we gathered sacrifices for the master, like we always do. And he repeats that several times in terror.
I will repeat to the group that they have gathered sacrifices for the master.
You're not going to ask him who the master is?
Oh, yeah. Who's your master?
The kobold just points a shaking claw up towards the ledge at the top of the cave where you saw the dragon go.
The approaching dragon.
I tell him to ask if any of the kobolds have ever been up to that ledge, and if they have any strategic information of note or value to us about the arrangement of things behind the ledge.
Well, the first thing is when he points up, I'd be like, apparently we have to ask the dragon who the master is, I guess. So, how do we get up there?
He doesn't know. They have never been up there. For them, that is a holy place, and they never enter it.
All right, it's like an Arby's. They just never go there.
Like an Arby's? What?
There's no, It's just wall straight to the, floor straight to the cliff, and then floor again, right?
That's what it looks like from where you are.
All right, I wander that way. Is it in fact that's how it is?
Yeah, absolutely. There's just a pretty much straight wall up It's not perfectly smooth. It's certainly climbable if you attempted it, but it is a good 40, 50 feet up to this ledge.
40, 50 feet is all? I pull out 50 feet of hemp and rope and cast spider climb.
Okay, you do that.
All right. Then I get to the top and anchor it pretty good so that my companions can come up without having to make climb checks and awkwardly having one of us fall 40 feet and die.
You successfully do that.
Awesome.
Yay, I'm helping.
Let's do it.
What did you guys do with the villagers that were in the cage?
Apparently we left them in the cage.
Fell apart.
He broke the cage.
Oh, that's right. I thought a 5 didn't break the cage. I missed that detail.
I assume they were going to tell him to them to leave. I would also say, I like to say I collected my javelin. Javelins.
You gave that to the first group that left.
Yeah, you gave one of them, but I have 3 left. Oh, okay. Thanks.
Okay.
Well, that's fine. But as whichever of you tells these villagers to exit the cage and leave the cave, one of them looks at you and says, "What about the other kobolds that are still in here?"
Okay. All right. I'm going to hand one of my javelins to the most strapping of the villagers and say, "All right, you guys wait here. We're going to go up there and make some mincemeat, and we'll be back. So stay here. Don't get killed."
Did the kobolds drop any weapons?
There's certainly some daggers on the ground.
And they're pretty terrified, right? We can just disarm them, arm the villagers, and move on with our lives.
Yeah, but they're still villagers. They're only a level 0, and this isn't a Michael campaign, so they're not going to do very well.
They're only almost as good as a kobold. I think they'd be fine.
Bruthwald does make a good point. Do you guys want to take the time to do that?
I'm yelling this point from the top of the cliff or about halfway where I'm spider climbing way up. Hey, guys, arm the villagers.
Start passing out daggers and
let's arm them.
Sharpen sticks, whatever it is that the kobolds are using.
Break off a few stalagmites and hand them over for clubs.
This is a stout rock. You hit people with it like this. Just plow one of the poor kobolds down.
There you go. The one that I was holding. This is how you kill a kobold. I just wring his neck.
Wow. Okay. That's an excellent plan. I will give each of you inspiration for coming up with that and carrying it out.
All 4 of us?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
Turning these group of 10 awkward fishermen into...
into an adventuring party.
Your murder slaves.
they're going to be our backup characters when we all die.
Shotgun the guy who has my javelin.
I think they're up here, brah. Climb up the rope.
All right. Is everybody going up?
Yeah, I'm going to be the last one up because the villagers like me so much, so I'm giving a little, like jab pointers and stuff, so.
He's like Indiana Jones at the end of Temple of Doom with all the kids around him just waving his hands.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you guys get up to the ledge. There is another cave entrance off the ledge there. On the ledge, there are certainly quite a few bones and remains of half-eaten humans and creatures and animals. These kobolds have certainly definitely been grabbing people and things and giving them to the dragon for some time. I mean, there's just piles of bones and rotting corpses. Behind this ledge off into the cave where you saw the dragon go, there's an incredibly wide entrance. And this entrance appears to be very well carved out and finished. This isn't just a random opening. As you look towards this entrance, you actually see this is a hallway, almost like a hallway in a castle. It is lined with suits of armor. There are weapons and trophies hanging on the wall, and there's carpets on the floor.
Does any of the stuff on the walls look good?
If you guys want to give me perception checks, we can find out.
I would love to.
Hey, 18.
13.
13, and what did Quest have?
20.
Oh, awesome. Okay, so you guys You guys very easily and quickly see that these are trophies of failed adventurers. There are suits of armor, weapons. They appear to be very well made in quality, but they are all scorched and clawed and ripped asunder. You also see a few boxes and chests and bags at the foot of some of these suits of armor, and you kind of guess that this is probably the gear of these poor adventurers that have failed while trying to kill this dragon. And you also see at the end of the hallway the dragon.
Ah!
Thanks for listening to the RPG Academy podcast, the flagship program of the RPG Academy Network. If you enjoy what we do here, then please check out therpgacademy.com and visit our site partners for additional entertainment and gaming advice.
We do this out of love for the hobby and for you, our fans. The podcast and site content will always be free for you to enjoy and utilize. But we do have expenses related to the show. If you'd like to help out in any way, please visit patreon.com/VRPG Academy and check out the rewards we are providing for your monthly pledges. We use all funds that come in to improve the show and give you better content and quality.
And if you don't have the coin to spend, don't worry. You can still help us out in many ways. You can subscribe to our show on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio. You can leave us a 5-star review. Also, if you clear your cookies and you visit Amazon or the DriveThruRPG site through our portal, we get a small percentage of what you pay, and it doesn't cost you anything extra.
Just like any RPG, our site works best with open lines of communication. We love talking with our listeners about everything. Please contact us with any questions, concerns, and comments that you have. We also love to hear feedback and experiences from your own games. You can email us via podcast@therpgacademy.com and reach us on social media, such as Facebook and Google+ @therpgacademy.
But Twitter is usually the fastest way to reach us. You can find my favorite co-host, The Caleb G, @TheCalebG.
And you can find my favorite co-host, Michael, @TheRPGAcademy.
Thanks for listening, and as always, if you're having fun, you're doing it right.